This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jared Sandler's in the house getting ready for the Texas Rangers pregame that is coming up at 6:30. There's Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup. I'm Gavin Dawson. Brian Broaddus is here, of course. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Will Chuck and Schiafalo have morning duty for the rest of the week.
Me too.
They're having to wake up super early and conduct the broadcast, filling in for Sean and Troy. And I think RJ was back this morning, but two out of the three are missing there. Let's do this, though. Let's talk about some sports. And I got to tell you, after reviewing this article, ESPN Insider with Kevin Pelton today, the answer to me becomes pretty clear on how the Mavericks should approach giving Jalen Brunson more money than the Knicks. So let me say that. I mean, the only way you would let him go is if you have a great plan to find another perimeter ball handler who can come close for significantly less. And maybe they have somebody in mind with their mid-level exception. We were talking about Malik Monk earlier, 13-point-per-game score, shot about 48% from the floor. But unless you have something brilliant, and I don't think you can be sure when you're talking about players of Malik Monk's level or the mid-level exception type of player. So it's pretty much a topic on how wise it is to give Jalen Brunson big money, even though he's not an all-star. And on the surface, you're like, well, what are you doing justifying giving him close to the max? We'll talk about those angles, and we want your feedback. The truckwreck.com fan text is open at 877-881-1053. We are now just 48 hours from the start of free agency. Tune in Thursday night. We'll unpack everything that's been breaking. But the Mavericks at this point can just outbid the Knicks. New York does not have the ability to go to a full max of around $35 million per year. And even if they did, the Mavericks could just guarantee another full year.
Right.
New York can only offer four. The Mavericks could do five. Jalen's dad, Rick, made it clear in a piece with Tim McMahon a few months ago. This is just business. Highest bid gets it. And with the fifth year and the added tax situation, it would be as much as like $50 million more that Jalen would have to turn down to go to the Knicks. And maybe he just wants to go to New York that bad. But if you're Jalen Brunson right now, you got to be honest with yourself and say, okay, I believe in myself, but my value might be the highest right now that it's ever been. And if I turn down that fifth year guaranteed and the state tax benefits of being in Texas, 3 or 4 years from now, I might be getting ready for free agency and not be close to the commodity on the market as I am right now in 2022. I don't know how you turn down that fifth year guaranteed. I just don't know. Keep in mind, 1 year ago, Jalen Brunson was getting benched in the playoffs against the Clippers because Rick Carlisle couldn't find a good place for him to be productive and not kill you on defense. So that's kind of how his career has gone. So at 877-881-1053, we get into this article from Kevin Pelton. And he approaches this in a pretty interesting way because he's a numbers guy. He's numbers based. And it's a subject we've discussed over the last couple of days on the show. The premise is, you know, is Jalen Brunson ready for a bigger role than the one that the Mavericks have had him in? And he's approaching it from not only the Mavs perspective, but from the Knicks perspective as well. Can Brunson be an efficient scorer with higher usage? And kind of what we've been talking about is, well, yeah, if you only attempt 3 3-pointers per game and all of your other shots, you know, you're taking advantage of the space the 3-point shooters and Luka Doncic gets you. You know, can you really go take what the defense is offering, or do you have to let the defense dictate to you exactly what they want and then take the open shots as they come? And I think that is a legitimate point of concern if you're evaluating how valuable Jalen Brunson could be for the Mavericks or for the Knicks. But here's the numbers. Brunson actually played 1,200 minutes without Luka last year, which boosted his usage from 17% of the team's plays with Doncic to 27% without him. All along, Jalen Brunson maintained an average of 56.5 true shooting percentage. It was the same. The usage with Doncic on the floor, without Doncic on the floor. I'm just as good at getting quality shots, even though I'm using the ball almost twice as much. tossing Brunson 7.4 assists per 36 minutes with Luka on the bench. That's kind of elite assist numbers for a point guard. That more than doubles his average with Luka on the floor, and there wasn't really a good comparison for that level of production in the NBA last season, writes Kevin Pelton. He was kind of amongst his own company. CJ McCollum probably came closest when it comes to usage and true shooting percentage, though McCollum averaged just 5.3 assists per 36 minutes. Is Jalen Brunson as good or better as CJ McCollum? I don't know, but that's what the numbers say. And Brunson was even better with Luka on the bench in the playoffs, ramping up his usage to an incredible 34% with a 5.59 true shooting percentage. So even as good as that playoff run was, His numbers when it comes to his absolute field goal shooting efficiency was a little bit better, actually, in the regular season. And you have 1,200 minutes of basketball to look back on that as far as a sample size. So, you know, I know I kind of held the floor there for a while, Brian. I know you have thoughts on it. But, I mean, Pelton found a number of comps for guys like this in recent seasons. Terry Rozier and Malcolm Brogdon and Tyreke Evans and Deion Waiters, guys that had supporting roles. And they were thought, well, there's no way he could do more and still be efficient. And those guys did. Harrison Barnes was the lone exception, and he actually did it with the Mavericks. Where, I don't know, maybe that's part of why they're worried about what Jalen Brunson could be. But to me, the takeaway is you got to keep Brunson. And as a matter of fact, you should give him the ball a lot more and let Luka Doncic be his off-the-ball shooter so Luka can rest up, be more effective when he has the ball, and maybe play better defense. What do you have for me, Brian?
Yeah, I think everything you're saying is absolutely right. The thing that I wonder what in the Knicks' resolve is here, you know, because if when you talk to people or read about or hear, you know, the Knicks struggled last year because of they didn't have really a primary ball handler. They had to use Alec Burks as they had to use him. From what I'm understand, as a that he's like a wing that they used as a really as a point guard. And
they had to use Julius Randle a lot of point forward.
And the offense was stagnant. It struggled. There were a lot of things going on there that just, you know, set the Knicks back, and so. You wonder the Knicks' resolve here of, we've got to go get a point guard.
They're thinking Brunson answers all this stuff.
Yeah, they're thinking like, you know, damn, last year we had so many problems, you know, just handling the ball. And, you know, here you have, you know, the president of the club, now dad is an assistant coach. You know, he appears to be looked at as an answer. You know, as like, hey, we had all these problems with our offense, point guard. We had all these problems. This is our guy. You know, so I could see their resolve. I could also see this.
I'm saying, man, even if they have such resolve that they feel nervous and they blow out more salary to get to 32, 33, 34, I'm still matching. Yeah. I can't let a player this good go. Well, I think you get a bigger role for him next year and his trade value continues to tick up and up It would be a very tradable asset.
This sounds like a really shaky thing to say.
All right.
Do you think that Brunson is using the Knicks to drive up the Mavericks' offers?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's possible. Yeah.
But
I also think he really wants to go there. His dad's living there.
No, I mean, it might be a situation where, son, it is. It's a business. It's about our money. It's about money. It's about getting you the best offer. Yeah. You know, if you really want to come to New York, I'm not going to stop you.
It might be a situation, too, where he wants to go run his own team. Yeah. And here, the one thing they can't give him, they could give him money, but they can't give him a court without Luka Doncic on it for 35 minutes a night.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be the thing, like, okay, dad, you know, I want to come play with you. I like, you know, obviously being a Northeast guy, the New York Knicks, and we're in basketball Mecca and all that. But, you know, I can, if these stats do extrapolate out and I'm playing 38 minutes a night being the primary ball handler with a usage rate close to 30, I'm going to be a perennial all-star, dad, you know?
Yeah.
It's not only about money. It's and going to New York, but it's about the chance to carve out a massive legacy, helping the Knicks become more of a good team. But the opportunity to go try to be a 25-point-per-game scorer. You know, I could maybe sell sneakers. Could I actually play well enough that I am a perennial all-star? And could I do that with the Dallas Mavericks? Now you start talking about, you know, would you rather be an MVP candidate or be a role player on a team going for a championship? And, I mean, as much as we all like to say we got to be team first and everything, that opportunity to be the star and have it all be about you, I think would have to be very attractive as well. But how do you react to it if you're the Mavericks at 877-881-1053? Brunson's on notices. Defenses will hone in on him now, and he won't be the same. Oh, 832, why do y'all keep forgetting we have Dinwiddie? He's just as good as Brunson. Come on, guys, this is getting ridiculous. It's Jalen Brunson, not a big deal. Shaking my head. Well, you know, this is something that advanced stats do, is they allow us to have a different perspective on what our eyeballs and brains think we are seeing. And that's why analytics and sabermetrics have been so popular and powerful across sports, is because it challenges conventional wisdom. And the next thing you know, you go, oh, wow. See, I had him pigeonholed because he's short. And it looks like every time he gets into the paint, it's like a 10 out of 10 difficulty to get the shot up without getting it blocked. But what the numbers actually tell you is he is the most efficient scorer for a guy that's in non-Luka minutes. The most efficient scorer. CJ McCollum was the only thing close. And he actually gave you two more assists per 36 minutes than what CJ McCollum did. As far as Dinwiddie, he's a significantly different player, you know, than what Jalen Brunson is. And I don't know who I would prefer, but Brunson's 4 years younger. He doesn't have the problem with the knee. And something happened in the playoffs where Dinwiddie turtled. And I think Jalen Brunson has a champion's heart, and you saw that in the playoff series. His limitations are physical. I don't think Dinwiddie has physical limitations, but he just couldn't rise to the occasion enough. There were just a couple of games, the one against Phoenix and maybe a couple against Golden State where he'd actually been proud of. Okay, Gavin Brunson's not worth that. Mavs are already cap locked. Don't do it for a guy who wants to run his own offense and not be in Luka's shadow. I think that's a good point, but he has demonstrated for 4 years he can be good, you know, in Luka's shadow. He's willing to accept that role, and if what his dad said is accurate, that it's more about money than being able to run the show, that's what you need, is really, really great players who are willing to sacrifice and not be the guy. And I think, you know, Brunson and Luka have proven that. It's one of the advantages of building a team to the draft. You get all these guys young, and they can grow up and really learn the different subtleties between their roles and their teammates. Truckwreck.com fan text is open for you on this subject. I know you guys need to have something to talk about, but this conversation is pointless. He's gone. Well, I don't think we get the feeling from the Mavs front office that they believe he's gone. Do you?
No, I just had an insider just send me a message. You must be listening to the show. He says he thinks he's gone.
He is gone.
And he says, you know, he was also saying that he said, because he heard me talk about the leverage stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think this is a leverage play at all. Hmm. So that's kind of where that. This is one individual.
Okay.
One Mavs insider that feels like that he might be gone.
Well, I would say he's gone because the Mavs don't want to pay.
Yeah.
You know, you have the ability. I'm not saying he's as good as Steve Nash. I don't know if he's as good as CJ McCollum. But he's a really, really good basketball player.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you sign him, you pay luxury tax for a little bit. Dwight Powell's deal is going to come off the books. I mean, you got such horrible money spent on this, and if you're worried about that pushing you into the luxury tax threshold to the point that you can't keep a good player, I don't think you make the fans bear the brunt of, you know, your bad decisions on Dwight Powell or Kristaps Porzingis actually put Davis Bertans' contract on your books now. There's a number of bad ones, but, you know, I don't think you're going to find a player capable of giving you what Jalen Brunson does for the mid-level exception. And, you know, all respect to Tim Hardaway Jr. or Christian Wood, those are guys that catch the ball and are looking to go by somebody and score. I'm either taking the jump shot or I'm putting the ball on the floor and getting around somebody and trying to get to the rim. That's completely different than bringing the ball up the court and trying to get a team into its offense and being able to do that efficiently. You saw the problems that it caused in New York. We've seen the problems for a long time. It's been Luka Doncic and a bunch of guys that couldn't help him. And you're patient with Jalen Brunson. You wait 3.5 years Luka's out hurt, and he finally gets the opportunity to prove it to you, and he goes out there and beats the Utah Jazz, somebody seated higher than you in the damn playoff tournament, and what happens? At that point, you say, oh, well, you know, we don't think he's good enough. Really? So we're back to, oh, wow, I hope we can get somebody for the mid-level exception, the veteran minimum, that can help Luka Doncic. I hope this isn't, you know, Mark Cuban being a cheapskate with luxury tax. I hope this isn't his ego because he only wanted to give Jalen Brunson $14 or $15 million 5 months ago, and he's proven out to be flat out wrong on that one. But I worry that Mark Cuban, who's done a good job of taking a back seat throughout this rebuild, you know, might be getting his pocketbook and involved. You know, he hasn't been a luxury taxpayer since they won the championship. He's been saving a lot of money over the last decade, and I would hope now is the time to sacrifice. Now, if they say, no, it's not about money, it's not about ego, we have a better plan, you better go execute it. Because this team is not going to take a half step back. This is a big step back. Gavin, you're drooling over Jalen Brunson. Stop. I get it. You know, he's short. He's pudgy. He has short arms. But basketball is a game. Basketball is a game of skill and balance. And if you can get guys off balance or use a little bit of leverage to get up underneath them and knock them off balance and get the ball in the hoop, you're just as good as the tall guys. There's no rule that says you got to be tall and be able to dunk to be a good basketball player. He's one of the most efficient scorers in all of the game. And the story today from Kevin Pelton shows to me that with a much bigger usage, he's going to be able to maintain those levels. And we're going to watch Jalen Brunson go play in New York just like we watched Steve Nash, with nothing but resentment and frustration for how Mark Cuban handled the situation. That's my prediction. So if he's gone, then so be it. And hopefully the Mavs have a great plan to recover from what I think is going to be one of the biggest mistakes they've made. Bobby Belt joins you in 13 minutes. We kick off the Expressway in 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation. Time to hit the Expressway. 35 minutes of uninterrupted content. LA Live with Lucius Alexander sitting out there coming up in about 20 minutes. He'll play you the G-Bag of the day, hit some randos, good entertainment. But we kick off every Expressway with what's been breaking. And everything in the world of sports segments brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're struggling financially, facing foreclosure or repossession, have IRS credit card or medical debt, you don't have to face it alone. With one phone call, Mark Rubin can take the weight off your shoulders, get you to live in life again. Call Mark right now at 1-800-LAWYERS. We were just talking about it last segment, and we're now 48 hours from the start of free agency. We are going to break down everything in the 5 o'clock hour Thursday with these NBA moves. But the story from Callie Kaplan that just hit in the morning news website, Mavs expect Jalen Brunson will sign with New York Knicks in free agency. This is just a month after Nico Harrison called it the top priority. We've got to figure that out. We're not in control of it, but he's definitely a priority. We want to re-sign him. He knows we want him back and to be a part of the future, but he will not be, Brian. And I don't know if a sign and trade is possible. Still, maybe after the Mavs realize we're going to lose him, maybe they'll start working on what they might be able to get back from him, a player like a backup point guard, Derrick Rose. You know, maybe that makes sense for both parties, or maybe they'll, make Alec Burks available or something like that. And then it goes to, you know, how do the Mavs make sure this doesn't hurt too bad?
Yeah, the Knicks have got to figure out a way to clear more cap, though, right, when they get this thing done? So it's about maybe...
I thought their draft day moves put them around 25.
They could still... I think they still have to do something else. I think I'm just trying to read about... Because they were talking about Noel, Burks. They could trade those two and then waive Taj Gibson, and that would just give them under $25 million in cap space.
Okay.
So a large chunk of that, if not all that money, will be used to convince Brunson to join the team from seeing some stuff here.
Well, you know, if you heard last segment, I'm disappointed by it. There's a way out. You know, there's a way out. You have Tim Hardaway Jr. coming back. You have Christian Wood coming back.
Yeah.
These are good attacking players. You know, maybe scoring overall, you're better than what you were in the playoffs. But as far as playmaking, getting shots, they need to get something back in a trade or with their mid-level exception out there to find another ball handler. That should pretty much... you know, put a bow on where that story is headed, at least for today. And we'll hope that over the next 48 hours, something develops in talks regarding a sign and trade or some other way that the Mavericks can benefit from that. there was the end of a different kind of era with the Mavs today. Their last day one employee from 1980, assistant GM Keith Grant, has retired. Started as the equipment manager at 22 years old after a college baseball career at Oklahoma City College. 42 years on the job. That's double what Dirk did.
Yeah.
Former assistant GM now, Keith Grant. He's held the title of assistant GM since 1998. He worked for all three Mavs owners, all 10 head coaches, including Dick Motta twice. He was part of all Mavericks Western Conference finals runs, two finals runs, and, of course, the 2011 championship.
It's amazing.
So, yeah. A cool, great guy. Keith Grant, great guy. A lot of.
You know, it's funny. I have never met him. And I feel like I've kind of met a lot of the guys, gals that work in these industries, but I've never met him.
He's always around. Yeah, I think Chris introduced me to him a number of years ago.
Yeah, I was, and I've been to enough basketball games and stuff that maybe you thought you would bump into him along the way. But heck of a run, man. Yeah. 42 years. That's amazing to stay in athletics that long, professional sports that long.
Yeah, same team. Hell of a run.
Well, and you think about it, like you said, you usually when it's that's the case, it is usually an equipment man or a trainer or somebody like that that's the one. It's not usually a front office guy that's hanging on that long.
Yeah. So now Nico Harrison gets to start the process of finding the next assistant GM. And he's probably looking, to mold the front office a little bit more in the way that he's looking, maybe a more of a modern guy. Russell Westbrook's picking up the $47 million option on his contract. That's the biggest no-brainer ever. Almost $50 million for one season of basketball. Yes, I believe I will opt into that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Eight-time All-Star, 2017 MVP. And I don't know, the Lakers are saying publicly like they want to figure out a way to, build around him and the new head coach, Darvin Ham, saying all the right stuff. Yeah. Big 12's targeting Brett Yormack to be its next commissioner, the former COO of Jay-Z's Roc Nation, Brian.
I'm on that one.
Okay.
I'll have an update for you guys tomorrow on him. How about that?
Sounds good. Serena Williams lost a decisive third set tiebreaker at Wimbledon. So she is a first round loser in her first game back since getting injured in round one of last year, her first match back. She struggled at times. She labored. We were giving you a little bit of play by play back there in the 4 o'clock hour, but she's exhausted. And if she wants to continue her career right now, she's going to need a massive commitment to physical fitness. And at the age of 40 with her career, I just don't know where you'd find the motivation to do that, especially considering she has so many business possibilities.
While you were doing our show and doing that last segment, I know she was doing her media obligations and stuff. I'm going to go back and take a peek at that because it looked like to me she was – she was fielding a lot of questions. And so I wonder if some of them had to do with maybe her potentially coming back.
It's just tough, I think, when you have so many other options. You've started a family and you're 40. You're the most successful tennis player of all time. I think it would just be fascinating to see, what would drive you. Some people are freakish and they're like, well, I want to just keep playing, but only if it can be at a high level. That's the other thing. Like, once you start losing way earlier than you used to, it can be a really difficult and bitter pill to swallow, especially when it's total jobbers that beat you. Like Harmony Tan, there's no way.
Well, if you look at her career, I think she's only lost like three times in the first round of her career. So it's, Harmony Tan, if she would have played Harmony Tan like back in the day, Harmony Tan would have been beaten in 53 minutes today.
Yeah.
That's how quick that thing would have been 6-0, 6-1. Yeah. It's just, and it was tough. I mean, for her to have to play a match that was 3 hours, 18 minutes, that was tough today. And you wonder, did she gets through this round, but you wonder, well, okay, about the second round, what's happening there? You're playing against a better opponent. I've seen her play at such a high level. It was hard to watch her play today. I love the grit. I love the toughness.
Little Willie Mays in center field vibes.
I love the battle, but it reminded me of Emmitt Smith carrying the ball.
Yeah.
Late in his career with the Cowboys, we couldn't block for him well enough. We couldn't do anything well enough for him, And he was going in there and he was taking shot after shot after shot and, not going anywhere. And here's this proud warrior of a competitor,
yeah.
And you feel bad for him. I'm happy she gave it a go, But, man, that was a hard one to watch today.
It's on ESPN now. Knicks strong favorites to land Jalen Brunson. And we're sitting right here in the middle of some breaking news. I guess we should do the read breaking news on The Fan presented by Beat the Streak for tips to win a $5.6 million prize. Listen wherever you get your podcast to Beat the Streak. As the story breaking, Jalen Brunson, it's believed he is going to sign with the New York Knicks. With the departure of Brunson, at what point do we blow it all up and trade everyone, including Luka, for long-term assets? You don't. I mean, the thing that sucks is you don't have an opportunity to replace Brunson. You just don't have the resources to replace him. And if you think you're in a championship window like the Golden State Warriors, you just pay the luxury tax. If you're a billionaire, you just pay the luxury tax and say, well, we'll deal with it. If we got to hand over $50 million in revenue sharing, that is fine. But we were one step from the finals, you know? What the Cowboys did is they looked at their roster and said, well, we're getting old and we're regressing. We can't pay this team. The Mavericks are young. Their era is pointing straight up. And what are we worried about? The luxury tax? You're letting him go over dollars, Mark Cuban? Are you really committed to winning? Well, I don't think you are.
Well, they might be letting him go because they don't think he's worth $28 million.
Well, that's what you do. In free agency, you pay guys more than they're worth because the entire league is bidding on your player. And if you don't want to do a little bit of that, then we're in Stephen Jones land.
One team is bidding on this player, right?
Yeah.
One team.
Pacers were interested. A couple of other teams were interested.
Maybe a desperate team bidding on this player?
Possible. Yeah.
I don't know. If you're not falling in love with guys, and maybe, you know, if you know the shortcomings of the players, and I think you've done a great job today of arguing on his behalf. And I don't think you're wrong. I just think that they're probably in a situation where if you were a scout in their front office and you were arguing, Mark would look at you and go, damn, Gavin, you've made some really good points today. Okay, who else is here? Who else wants to talk on this? And then you get we offered him his. He didn't want to take that. You know, his shortcomings are this, this, and this. His positives are this, this, and this. You know, and Mark's probably going, do we want to pay for a guy that we think he has maybe more shortcomings than he does positive things? I don't think your points are wrong. He has been an amazing player for somebody. I mean, he's been a winner everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
Everywhere he's been. I mean, you talk to people over there, they love coaching him. Mm-hmm. They love being around him. But they're also thinking like, okay, well, this is what we're going to go at. This is our number. And if they go way above that number, we're not going to go to that dance.
Well, hopefully they have a plan, Brian. I know you've done a great job of, you know, networking inside that organization and sharing their perspective, and I appreciate it. And I think at this point, all the great things they've done, I won't be surprised if they have something in their back pocket. But right now, as we sit 48 hours from the start of free agency, I think they're major losers here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what? And this is the great thing because when we have these discussions, there are some rights and wrongs.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll see if in fact that he walks and then we get the number and it goes back to you and you say, man, okay, 30 something million dollars. I don't know if I'd have gone there.
Okay. Yeah. If they take it into the 30s, we're overpaying, but he's worth at least 22, 25 million bucks or something. And
sure,
if I got to overpay by 20% to keep a guy who essentially won a playoff series for us.
Yeah.
I know he struggled a little bit more against Phoenix and the better defense against Golden State. That's what happens to shorter players, but they have tremendous value for getting you to the playoffs. You won an NBA Finals with JJ Barea and Jason Terry. You know, these guys were defensive liabilities too.
It's funny because, and I trust you on your basketball knowledge, okay? Because you've lived this. You've covered teams. You covered teams, you know, starting out as a young guy coming up through the radio ranks, and you know this game. But you always used to tell me short guys don't work well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You used to tell me that.
Yeah.
And I believed you for that.
Sure.
Is this guy different?
Well, he's not your main guy. You know,
okay.
He's not your star of stars.
Okay, but
that you're trying to get through with.
So we're just going to say he's not our main guy, but we have to pay him $25 million.
Yeah, I mean the max is Russell Westbrook's getting 47 now.
I know, but
John Wall's getting damn near $50 million. That's the max.
Those are mistakes.
The Knicks are getting him for $25 million.
Those are mistakes, though.
Yeah,
Gavin, you know that, right?
Well, I'm just saying that's the top end.
Yeah.
That's the absolute top end is another double up from what the Knicks are about to get Jalen Brunson for. And those are mistakes, but it's a fifth of the salary cap. That's what $25 million is. It's a fifth of the cap.
Okay.
I think I would have room for Jalen Brunson on my roster. I hope the Mavs aren't making a big mistake.
No, you've made excellent points.
All righty. You really have. It is time now to catch up with Bobby Belt, as have you, sir. It's time to catch up now with Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider. And a good afternoon, Bobby. How the hell are you?
What's up, fellas?
Well, apparently Brunson's going to the Knicks. Do you think it's a mistake by Mark Cuban?
I mean, look, like I said yesterday, I want Brunson here. I didn't know Brad Townsend was a Tolo and was texting in that, well, we need to blow it up. Jalen Brunson's gone. Yeah, at what point do we talk about blowing it up? But like, it's just funny to me. Like 2 days in a row, we're talking about like this is like losing Steve Nash, and then it's like, oh, well, we should trade Luka if we don't have Jalen.
Well, that's
Brunson.
What happens. That's what happens.
Like, y'all are getting so emotional here. Goodness.
No. That's what happens when you have people you talk to and they convince you that hey, this guy, we really don't need this guy.
Look, he's so good.
No, he is good. That's the thing about it is you got clown show guys like me listen to people tell me, oh, well, hey. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. You know, that kind of stuff. So to me, I understand what Gavin's doing.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong because Jalen Brunson has done some really good things for the Dallas Mavericks.
For sure.
But if you listen to people over there, they will convince you that he is a jobber.
He's not a jobber.
They're acting like, if you start putting out, well, you know Brad, this guy, and he's short arms, doesn't pass well,
what my biggest concern is with letting Brunson go, and I think some of it's been hyperbole, but my biggest concern about letting Brunson go and his biggest value to me is like we've seen in the last decade how really difficult it can be for teams to find the right players to pair with ball dominant wings. Like people don't always play well with those guys. Like it took a long time for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to finally click the way they wanted it to. Zach LaVine is potentially leaving Chicago because he's frustrated with playing with DeMar DeRozan and the way that can be. And you know, you saw how long it took to find the right pairing for, you know, and still never really found it for James Harden and guys like that. It's really difficult. And Brunson's shown he can play with or without Luka on the floor and he can change up his pace. I can be ball dominant or I can defer and I can still play within Luka's offense. And so that's to me the biggest concern I have about letting Brunson go is that you found somebody that can pair with a ball dominant wing and that's really hard to usually pair up. But I also at the same time don't want to pay so much that over the next 4 years. I'm not on the fence. If at that number, say goodbye to Jalen Brunson. I'm just saying that's the part that sucks about it.
All right, Bobby, I guess we're going to have plenty of opportunity to talk about this over the next 48 hours. Hopefully they have something in their back pocket or a sign and trade is in the cards or something like that. This is just I didn't think at $25 million we'd be talking about watching this guy walk. Like last week when the conversation was it might go to the max, I was like, well, that's a difficult decision to be making. 25 or 26 million bucks and letting him go for that, I thought that would have been an easy thing to beat. What's the biggest thing going on with your Cowboys right now?
So the first thing I want to touch on here really quickly is because I know the fan text has hit this question a couple times and we haven't had a chance to address it yet, and I've been getting it on Twitter too. People for some reason keep asking about TJ Vasher, who was the undrafted free agent receiver last year out of Texas
Cowboys
Tech.
Cowboys said that to us, didn't they?
Cowboy.com. Well, Todd Archer also wrote about him as one of the surprises from OTAs and minicamp. And so I just want to quickly address TJ Vasher. He has been a lot of times with the first team offense. That's due to the bodies that have been available. He's had some good moments. Man, where you see him missing is like he does not have a lot of downfield speed. So, like, if you want to talk about a red zone or sort of like a possession receiver, he's shown some things there, and he's shown some good hands at times. But, man, he has trouble getting under the football sometimes with some of those throws down the field. So, you know, an interesting player.
I saw some drops along the way.
There was that one practice where they had a lot of issues with drops. But I thought overall it wasn't a consistent issue for him. He did have one day with a lot of other guys for some reason where they were dropping the ball. But, like, I mean, he's a big target. And he, you know, I don't think his lateral movement skills are that bad. I mean, he's, what, 6'6", like 215. So he's a big target, and he can go up and get the ball. It's just I saw a lot of times like balls just going out of his reach because he just didn't have the top end speed. So he's an interesting player. He's somebody worth, I mean, I guess potentially keeping around on the practice squad or something like that. I wouldn't necessarily take up a roster spot for him. So that's my take on TJ Vasher, since so many people have asked about that recently.
Yeah, I guess ESPN named him a surprise standout. Yeah. Created a lot of headlines, yeah. a lot of chatter.
That's Archer and DallasCowboys.com, right?
Yep, they both have talked about him a lot, and it's notable that he was getting first team reps, and Mike McCarthy, I think, at a press conference talked about him making splash plays and stuff like that, and he had some good moments, but also I think we all came out of training camp going, boy, if this is the receiving core, they are in trouble. So, I mean, yeah. He wasn't so great that I think he stood out as like, well, this is a viable guy who can get reps consistently.
Robert, my top five position groups for the Dallas Cowboys. I did all 10, but number five, the safeties.
Okay.
Number four, the linebackers. Number three, the quarterbacks. Number two, the cornerbacks. And number one, the defensive line. That's my top five.
So I think that's I think you didn't consider running back in the top five?
No. Go after me, Bobby. Go after me.
I wouldn't have linebacker in the top five. I think that's I mean, you've got Micah Parsons, that's great, but otherwise I think you have a bunch of jobbers and questions.
Vander Esch? Vander Esch is kind of a sneaky signing, is what I thought about.
I mean, Vander Esch to me is the same signing you made when you brought back Morris Claiborne, where it's like you've kind of been injured and haven't totally lived up to the hype, but you didn't have a market, so let's try one more year. We didn't pick up the option, but we'll still sign for a fifth year. I can't believe he's going to stay healthy. And so as soon as I can see him stay healthy consistently or play consistently, I mean, that rookie year, he was consistently a really good player. And then since then, it's been injuries and inconsistent. Even when he's been healthy, there have been some games where it's like, what the hell is Leighton Vander Esch doing out there? And so... you know, that's my only concern there. And then behind that, Jabril Cox, you like him, but we still have questions about his run defense, and he didn't get to play a full season, and there's just a lot of potential there.
See,
and then
that's
behind
that's what I'm hopeful for. The rookies that they got, and then Jabril Cox, and then Vander Esch, and then I feel like, though, that with Parsons, you've got a star in Parsons. There's
Parsons is a star, and he would carry that group. I would then say I think the depth total around him isn't great. I think I'd go running back ahead of the linebackers, just because Zeke Pollard, if Dowdle can be healthy, he's somebody that I think has a lot of juice and somebody that they're really intrigued by. And even if he's not, I know some people have asked recently about undrafted free agents who are some guys who could make it. And I know we've brought up Peyton Hendershot, the tight end, Marquise Bell, the safety. I think another person to bring up there is Malik Davis, the running back out of Florida. I think they really like him, and they view him as somebody, he's not a burner. I think he ran like in the 4.6s.
He catches the ball well, even though one practice he had a drop there. But yeah,
he catches, he blocks, he's got vision, he can run. Yeah. And so, like, I mean, I think that's somebody who they view as a complete back who is definitely in competition with Dowdle whenever he's healthy enough to play, which he's been hurt a couple times now. I think that's somebody definitely in contention for that third running back spot, along with, like, you know, Jaquan Hardy and some of those guys. So I would actually have running back in the top five.
All right.
So that would be the only change. So you would kick the linebackers out and put running backs in the top five.
I would probably go corners, D-line, quarterback, running back, safeties.
Okay. So I was in the ballpark with you.
Yeah,
then,
you were close. You were close. That's the only swap out of it. And then I'd flip one and two.
Appreciate you as always, Bobby. Anything else before we let you go?
Just that I love you all.
Love you too. There he is, Bobby Belt, the most follower on Cowboys Twitter. It is time now for LA Live with Lucius Alexander. Now here we go into the Pimp Cup for Lucius.
It's a hell of a day right here. I have a question for the Tolo listeners right after Rick.
Well, all right, you squares. It's time you smoke.
Yeah. Fire up that funk. It'll make you dance.
Some of everything. Everybody get
high. LA Live for June 28th, 2022. It's a Tuesday, industry night. So be safe out there, industry folks.
Industry night.
Yeah.
What goes along with
waiters,
that?
Waiters, bartenders, and everything. Oh. This is when they go out and go party usually.
Oh.
The dancers outside partying today. Yeah, it's usually their day right here. Question for the before I get to the question for the Tolos, I'm gonna play this G bag of the day, because the question for the Tolos comes with audio today. So let me get this G bag of the day out of the way. Every day here on the fan, we do G bag of the day at 2:30. If you missed it, we play it right here for you on your ride home. How you doing? We got a grandma. Her name is Helen. late 70s, early 80s. I'm just guessing. This lady got some age on her.
Yeah, mid-80s, I'd say.
Yeah, but she doesn't mind being a homewrecker whatsoever. She's willing to risk it all for this married man that she was call herself flirting with. Listen to this conversation.
You a lie. You saw how he's looking at me.
Oh, you didn't almost have a boyfriend because that man was married.
Michelle, this is something you don't understand. You really just refuse. I ain't got nothing to do with you married. So what?
Ain't no way that man. Do you think that man, he said they've been together 60-something years?
I don't give a f*** if it's 110. When I tell you new stuff, it's hard to refuse.
Hey.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't going to jeopardize.
You don't know what he was going to do.
He was okay. Not going to jeopardize
his marriage.
Come
on now, be for real. And you know I ain't lying.
Of 60-some years to be with you. Now, come on. He ain't going to mess that up.
Terribly.
And that would have rolled your conscience if you did.
No, the f*** it would. I'm satisfying Helen.
Oh.
I mean, that's some bull too.
This is a comedy skit.
So if he would have cheated on you with his wife of 60-some years... That wouldn't have rolled your conscience.
No.
You'd have had a clear conscience.
I had a ball.
And what about her?
Yeah, a couple of them.
I ain't got nothing to do with her. I don't even know her. But I'm trying to make myself.
Oh, wow. Man, old people want to get after it still.
Bruh.
They do.
Bruh. Yeah. I hear at those nursing homes, like, the STDs be up. Up and is stuck up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, up.
That's bad. Well, Shoot, you're old. You might as well.
Give it a go. Yeah. Why not?
It's only going to be uncomfortable for a little longer.
Yeah. It burns when I drip. Huh. I mean, when I pee. let's see here. Question for the Tolos. Okay, we have a woman. She calls herself exposing her child's father.
Okay.
She calls herself exposing her child's father. I'll let you be the judge of this. A woman is mad at her child's father for... him feeding his kid. Okay? She's mad that he fed his kid. Now, you hear the rest of the story. I know it sounds kind of crazy. Listen. Whose side are you on right here?
Okay.
I'll let you listen to the audio, then we'll discuss. Fan text. Jump on the fan text. Let us know. We'll talk about it throughout the whole segment. Here we go.
Every f***ing day my baby daddy come here with one f***ing meal for my child. But I have three other kids. We have one kid together, but he only want to come and bring one thing to McDonald's. But what about my other kids?
I'm going to expose the out of him so people can see how he really is.
What's up? Because I'm going to expose you.
What?
Because that don't look enough for all my kids. What is that? That's just one burger? One burger, one fry?
What he like? What do you mean?
Okay, what about my other kids?
What about your other kids? Okay,
but them your kids' siblings, though. Them your kids' siblings, though.
So what you
want? My other kids finna be left out.
Lisa, what's that my problem?
But if you're trying to help out, though, you're not helping out.
I'm not trying to help. I'm trying to help my son.
How are you helping your son when you're only getting food for just him and not the other kids, his siblings?
Bring him out to the car.
No. He's not finna eat that at all if you can't bring enough for everybody.
Lisa, so you're telling me that I gotta bring... So when I bring my son food, I gotta bring your kids food, too, now?
Yes. How is that dumb? You sound dumb. You sound dumb.
Where are they daddies at? You have them other kids. They're your responsibility. They're not my responsibility.
Okay, but if you're going to bring one, you need to bring it for all.
Three kids that ain't mine.
What yeah. Like? They're his siblings. You knew what you was getting into when you had a baby with me.
I would run.
You had a baby with me who have kids with other people. I still have other kids. Because I'm exposed. Everybody think you such a motherfucking good daddy. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're full of shit in this. You only come here with one f***ing piece of food for one child.
The child that's mine, silly.
Well, you know, that was the rule in elementary school. If you wanted to bring something for yourself, you had to bring something
for
everybody, right?
It definitely was. In the military, if I was late to work, I had to bring donuts for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. But, in my parental opinion, I would say she exposed herself for being an idiot. Then any man would be a fool to have a child with. I can't imagine why all of those dads left such a clear thinker. They just start their own support group. But for real, sometimes people get so emotional and so angry about something that it prevents their brain from working properly, and I think that's what we witnessed right there.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. I mean, to me, I appreciate the guy bringing his kid food, you know? I mean, he could maybe not show up at all, you know, but, you know, he's right here. That those other kids are not his responsibility. Those are her response. Now, if you want to be nice one day and say, hey, I brought the kids a pizza.
Yeah.
They can share it. I get that. You know, but to expect that every single time.
Yeah.
Nah, she's way out of bounds.
I only have $8. I want my kid to know I'm thinking about him. I want to treat him.
Yeah.
I don't have the $30 to get everybody food, you know? And even if I did, I don't care about them. You know, this is my kid.
Yeah.
Now, if you want your other kids to not feel left out, then go talk to their dads or come up with the money to do it yourself. Or better yet, just let the kid go with me.
I'm exposing you're a bad dad. You feed your son and not the rest of these kids that you don't know. Yeah. You're a bad dad. I can't wait. Everybody talks about how good you are. It just makes me so mad. I got to expose you. Now I look crazy.
Yeah, she does look crazy. That's what makes her mad, really. Everybody thinking he's a good dad when he won't let himself be controlled by her.
That's
probably
tough,
why
bro.
He escaped.
It's tough. Yeah, you got to take the Burger Man and grab your kid and go to the park or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to get away from that. I'll spend a quality time with him and show him how to catch again.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's it, because, wow, that's scary. The U.S. Navy submarine periscope controls. The U.S. Navy submarine periscope controls used to cost $38,000 until 2017 when they realized that a $30 Xbox controller can get the job done.
What?
$30 Xbox controller can get the job done. We don't have to pay $38,000 when you can just get a little Xbox controller and get it done the same way. How about that?
Those government contracts are nice.
Who are you telling, bro?
Some excess going on there. Yeah, the Xbox controller is pretty good. I don't know if it's precise enough. I might use a keyboard and mouse. You know what I'm saying? If I really wanted to get it dialed in.
We are wrong and heartless. What? They said that. I just played it for you, bro. Only 1% of your farts you can smell. 99% of it is composed of odorless gas.
I think I'm at 100% most
of
the time
with
that, quite frankly.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, since I cut down on a lot of dairy and milk, not as quite as much cheese, I'd say I'm closer to 99.8% of that.
Yeah. You should probably smell better, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Fresh veggies.
Not that detectable.
Yeah.
Speaking of farts, a group of flies is called a business.
Oh, flies. A business of flies.
Yeah.
I did not know that. We got a business of wasps hanging around the pool, and they are terrifying. I don't find them to be that aggressive. They got more to worry about with me than I do with them. Because I got two fly swatters working the pool, and I don't know why they're so much crazier this year than last year. Maybe because of the heat getting so bad so quickly.
Yeah.
Last night I killed five of them.
No, I don't like
wasps. I was on a roll.
I don't like wasps. I've been bit by a wasp. Always in my face too. Always on my cheeks.
I don't think I've ever been bit by a wasp. Only a regular bee. But I got one out of the air last night, bro. He was zipping around. I like to wait until they land on the surface of the water or a toy, and then get them in the water, and then slap them down pretty good. But last night, one, as I was creeping up on it, it got airborne, and I said, to hell with it, I'm going for it, and swung, and I Babe Ruth that son of a gun right onto the back patio.
Mm.
I celebrated it, too.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
There's a Texas man that catches and releases a monster alligator snapping turtle.
I've seen this.
Yeah. His name is Justin Broomhall, who accidentally hooked the turtle on Father's Day. And he believes it was 200 pounds in between the ages of 100 and 150 years old. Oh, wasps don't bite, they sting. Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah. Okay, it got me.
It hurts.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. Broomhall was fishing at Lake Cherokee in East Texas. Anybody know where that's at?
I have not been to that lake, but no.
Okay, that's when he hooked that big old sucker right there. He was using dough bait in hopes of catching him a big old catfish.
Yeah.
Except he got him a alligator snapping turtle, a darn dinosaur.
When you pull that up, you're cutting the line, right? You're not going to try to handle that.
I would have thought I was stuck. I would have cut the line a long time ago thinking I'm hung up on the bottom.
He actually wrestled it and pulled it up on the shore.
Yeah. He said he used to work out in high school, and he 200 pounds is easy for him to lift, but this one right here, it was too much for me, man.
Wow.
Yeah, he said his son was screaming, put it back in the water, Dad, put it down.
They can take a hand.
Yeah,
I mean, I imagine a full-size one. I mean, even the smaller ones can easily take a finger.
Yeah.
They're
so
no joke.
Here's something I just learned doing this little story. In Texas, alligator snapping turtles are considered threatened species.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's illegal to take or possess one. When did this happen?
Fairly recently.
Really?
Yeah. But
so you got to keep your mouth shut if you're going
to work. Hey, look.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I don't know. Do people take them as pets?
Yeah, I usually do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever been bit by one?
No, I've never been bit by a turtle. The alligator snapping turtle is the largest freshwater turtle. You can catch them over around here, Florida, Texas, all these little southern states. And they have been recent decline due to over-harvesting for meat.
Really?
People are eating alligator snapping turtles.
That is crazy.
And loss of habitat. I want to figure out how I can help the alligator snapping turtles out here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get into that preserve.
Yeah, it must be quite a delicatessen. There it is, LA Live with Lucius Alexander every night at 5:40-ish here on 105 Through the Fan.
Okay,
thank
I got
you,
one
sir.
More. I got okay. one more baby mama. One more baby mama story here for you guys.
Okay. How about it?
We got a dad. He's incarcerated. Uh-huh. I don't know for how long. Maybe it's county jail because he's out there just picking up the trash in the streets. You know, that type of thing where they're wearing the little yellow vest and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And this mom takes her daughter to go visit the dad who's incarcerated as he's cleaning up stuff. And she basically humiliates him.
Right here. Say hi to your daddy. This is the only time we see him. Say hi to your daddy, your jailbird daddy. Say hi to your baby jailbird. Say hi to your baby jailbird.
Hey, man. Be smart out here, y'all.
Yeah.
Be smart out here. This is why I say prostitution should be legal. It really should. It keep you away from these type of decisions.
Yeah,
you definitely don't want a significant other who's trying to dunk on you on social media like that. That's a rough one. We got to run. Jared Sandler's coming up at 6:20 with the latest on the Rangers. We have some Cowboys content, veteran free agents the boys should consider before camp starts. It's the Cowboys news of the evening coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.